First Timothy chapter number 2. Let me say just a few things that kind of introduce this and why we're saying some of the things we're saying. The Lord said, when I was, I estimate about 8 years old, you know, back in that time of my life, I wasn't keeping a journal. Kids don't keep journals. 8 years, I'm estimating about 8 years old. I was, I had a dream one night, and it was the dream that God called me into the ministry in that dream. And, but he, without going into all the details of it, he said to me, he said, go tell my people I'm coming soon. And so, well, you know, I obeyed that like, you know, I obeyed my mama, which was not. You know, I started going a different direction. I didn't want to go into the ministry. I had been in the denomination I grew up in. I'd seen how they treated ministers. I didn't want anything to do with it. But, you know, that's just wrong thinking. But eventually got back in fellowship with God and got filled with the Holy Spirit and rededicated my life to God. I'm giving you the short version. And that call came back real strong. Just as soon as I got filled with the Spirit, got back in fellowship with God, that call came flooding back in on me again. About, I think, 15 years old, got back with God. And so I just started running. I mean, took off as soon as Bible school was, or excuse me, as soon as high school was over, went to Rhema. And didn't really dilly-dally, got with it. And I was in the full-time ministry by the age of 26, which was, you know, I look back on it, I'm thinking, who listened to a 26-year-old preach? You know, that's bless their hearts, you know. But anyway, yeah, when you got the answers, you got the answers. So, but we, anyway, so, and we got into the ministry, started traveling full-time, and then went to pastor. And when I surrendered to the call to pastor, he said to me again, he said, that which I said to you before, go tell my people, I say to you again, go tell my people I'm coming soon. And then he added something to it. That's all he had said when I was a child in the dream. And he said, but that which I said before, I say to you again, go tell my people I'm coming soon. And then he's added something. He said, go tell them to get ready. Get ready. Wow. Well, he's talking about Jesus coming back. To tell my people, I'm coming back. And if you've listened to, now, I don't just listen to everybody that says they had a dream or went to heaven or something. There's a lot of flakes around. But there are genuine experiences. And some of these genuine ones, you listen to them. And a lot of times Jesus will say something to them. Maybe they've caught up to heaven or something. And Jesus will say, tell my people, I'm coming soon. And he said, oftentimes he'll say something like this, tell them it's much closer than they think. Wow. You know, we got a job to do before we get there. We got a job to do before he comes back. We're not just here to breathe air and wait for the rapture. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And get this message out. So different ones of us have different assignments in doing that. But we all are part of, you know, the Great Commission. We know the Great Commission. I'm showing the pastors when I got into the... Is that my mic going off? Is that, I don't know if I did something wrong. You tell me if I'm doing something wrong. If I'm preaching wrong doctrine, stand up and stop me, all right? But maybe that's what they were doing. Now, that's not good doctrine, so turn him off. No. Okay. I was saying something there. What was I saying? We have different assignments. I was showing the pastors when I got in the car here, when they picked us up at the airport, I said, I want to show you something. I said, because just that morning, my sister, I believe it was, had sent me a graphic of her boys. She has four boys, and she said a graphic of the world, sent a graphic, you know, you flatten out the world, and it's kind of all on one page. And she sent a graphic of her boys. She's got four of them, and they're all over the world. This is where they were this morning. One was in the Philippines on his way down to New Guinea. Another one was over in Africa. Another one was up in one of the European countries. And all of them are preaching the gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. That just blessed me. So I had to share it with somebody I love. But you know, we're getting this job done. We each got our part. We each got our part to do. And so when he called me, he told me what my part is. My part is to go to his people. And so we don't go overseas and do crusades. Is that wrong? Absolutely not. Somebody needs to get that done. But see, we go overseas or something, or what we do here in the States, is we establish churches. We talk to his people. And we raise up churches and have a Bible school to raise up ministers. And the overseas raising up ministers. And we go over to Pastor Ike's church. We preach at his church, of course, but we always have a ministers' conference. And we're training ministers. Hallelujah. If you can train one minister, you can reach a whole lot of people. You know? Anyway, that's just, so go tell my people. Go tell my people I'm coming soon. Tell them to get ready. Well, so we're doing that. But over the years, there's a lot of things, you know, in order to get this job done, this great commission, and to do our part in it, We see that there, whenever we go about to do it, the devil doesn't just, I'm not reading a text, I'm looking at some notes here. Yes, no, okay, yes, no, don't do that, no. That's how I pastor at home on the computer, you know. Tell the staff, okay, yep, do that, don't do this. And I'm going back to prayer. We got a good staff, but... I'm partly joking. I'm not always at the home, but you go out to do what God's called you to do, and you notice the devil doesn't send you a Starbucks card and say, "Hey, congratulations, you're doing the plan of God." You know, let me. He's going to oppose you. Well, somebody said, "I haven't run into the devil much." Well, then you must not be doing anything for God. You know, if you haven't run into him, you heard that saying, if you haven't run into him for a while, you must be walking the same direction he's walking. You know? Of course, nobody here is doing that, because you're the real deal. You came out on a Saturday night, right? You're the real deal. But so you go out to do the will of God, and he'll oppose you. I'm talking about Satan. He'll oppose you. Well, are we just left powerless against him? Absolutely not. Absolutely. We're not at his mercy. Jesus defeated him. Jesus spoiled principalities and powers. But you have to know that authority. Amen. And so, you know, we exercise that thought. I could tell you testimonies for the rest of this service of things. Tries to rise up in our church, tries to oppose us, even the news, even the government in our city, things that would try to come up. And all kinds of stuff. And we just, in the privacy of our own prayer time or something, we just now, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Amen. We take authority over that. See, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not people. It's not people at all. It's Satan trying to use people. So we it's just amazing how things turn around. Hallelujah. Jesus said to Brother Hagin in a vision, you read that book, Triumphant Church. One of my favorite books Brother Hagin ever wrote. But he said, you don't need a word of knowledge. Jesus said this to him in a vision. You don't need a word of knowledge. You don't need discerning of spirits. That if there's anything or anyone that is opposing, harassing, intimidating, or in any way, embarrassing, or in any way opposing the church, the work of God, you don't need a word of knowledge or discerning the spirits to know it's the devil behind it. Right. Take authority over him. Yes, sir. Amen. And we need to learn to do that. Amen. I've had people come to me, you know, our minds are all getting renewed about that. As people come into the church, they're younger in spiritual things and haven't gotten the word in them enough. They'll come up, they want to talk about things that have just been hindering their lives, and I listen for one, and I'll say, now, have you exercised authority over the forces of darkness behind that?
Right.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Come on, Pastor. I said, well, that's where your real victory is. Yeah. That's where your real victory. You're not dealing with a person here.
No, sir.
This is not a person. This is not about personalities or human beings. We the forces of darkness are what is opposing. And so I encourage them, you know, to take authority over that. I said, now I can join my faith with you, but I can't do it for you. Amen. And sometimes I'll say, now I'll just let you lead out because I just want them to develop their faith. I said, I'm going to scotch for you. I'm going to stand here and scotch for you, but I'm going to let you lead out. And they feel so uncomfortable doing that. Why? They're not developed in faith in that. We've got to develop our faith in that. Amen. So, but, you know, over the years, I've had the Lord deal with me to talk about, you know, authority and the exercise of our authority. And Dr. Dufresne, he came to our church, like I'm sure he came to your church quite a number of times, and he said to me one time, he was ministering, and he stopped and he said, Pastor Jay, he said, now God's going to, I don't have the exact wording in front of me, but God's going to, God needs you, because of the exactness of your teaching ministry, he said he needs you to teach the church, the body of Christ, about devils and demons and demon activity and how to take authority, how to walk in authority. He said, because there are things infiltrating the body of Christ into local churches that sometimes people don't even recognize. Things are getting in. And they need to be taught because there's things getting in and deceiving people. Well, we've seen that. That was when Dr. Dufresne ministered that to me. That was probably, I don't have the note in front of me, but I'm going to say 2007 or 8 or something like that. Well, you know, that's been quite a while ago. And you see things infiltrating the body of Christ. I'm not, maybe not here. Your pastors understand the authority of the believer. But you look around the church world as a whole. And things, they have all sorts of things. Wrong doctrines. Doctrines of devils. I'm not just down on the church. We're for the church, but we're against what robs the church of her power. And letting things in the name of, well, they're trying to reach these people. Well, I'm reaching them too, but I can't let them. See, sometimes people say, well, you know, if God sent them, they're here. Well, the devil will send people. I've had the devil send a couple of people in my church. They didn't want to be free. They wanted to sue the church because we didn't let them use the opposite restroom. Absolutely, he threatened to sue them. I said, no, you don't. Not to him, but behind closed door. I said, no, you don't, in the name of Jesus. And that's been a number of years, and I haven't seen the lawsuit. Well, he couldn't. He had no grounds anyway. It's private property. But the point is, the devil will send people. And pastors have to know when it's the devil trying to infiltrate the church. You know, in that church in Corinth, we're going to get to 1 Timothy here, but that church in Corinth, the devil tried to infiltrate that church. And nobody was doing anything about it. Man living in open sin, and nobody was addressing it. Well, that's what was in the city of that city. Corinth was a very loose, licentious, sexually immoral city. All sorts of, it was even involved in their worship of their gods and stuff. Very, very immoral. But that was in that city. Tried to get in that church. Whatever's in a city will try to get in a church. Or whatever's in a nation will try to get into the church. To be honest with you, the church is the authority in the nation to stop what's trying to get into the nation, or in a city. So anyway, that's one thing that the Lord said to me through Dr. Dufresne. I'm just reading these notes here. He said, you're going to have to do some teaching on some of this. Then the Lord said to me another time, he said, there's further revelation, because Brother Hagin brought us some revelation, and others, Dr. Summeron, some brought revelation of the authority of the believer. But the Lord said to me, there's even further revelation that the church needs concerning the authority of the believer. Not outside the Word, but in line with the Word. I don't think Jesus has given us all that he wants us to understand about this. Now, I've begun to see some things. I've been submitting it to some other ministers because I don't believe you ought to go out and unless you can prove it with the Word, but I don't think you ought to go out and preach and teach something unless you can show it from the Word and unless you've let other seasoned ministers judge it. Yeah. So I've begun to see some things, and I've been letting some other ministers judge it. And so far, everybody's saying, you know, you're right on. It has to do with the authority we have at the throne of grace. Now, not over God. We don't have authority over God, but we do have a standing with Him, which gives us a right to say, now, just like Abraham before God, you're not going to destroy the righteous with the wicked, are you? Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? You're not going to. That's a bold place at the throne of God. Anyway, that's all besides the point. But he said to me, there's further revelation coming concerning the authority of the believer. And I've been believing God for that. Because I'll be honest with you, since 2000, well, for the last 20 years, the church has lost more ground in the authority of the believer, almost more ground in that area than any other area. You don't hear anybody preaching or teaching about it. Or very few. I shouldn't say anybody. Now, if somebody comes through this church, they will, because that's the people they're staying with it. But I'm talking about at large. You don't hear people talking about it much. They'll talk about concerning our nation. You know, you need to get a flag or you need to get a banner and stand out by somebody's building and tell them and picket it, you know. But that's not going to do anything. It's the authority of the believer that's going to change that. Amen. And they'll talk about getting involved in politics. Well, I believe good people, Christians ought to get involved in politics. I mean, ministers have a call to ministry. They're not called to politics. But there are people that need to get involved in politics. So I'm all for that. But yet some people give you the impression that that's all there is to it. That's not all that there is to it. You can be a good person. We've seen this. Be a good person. Be a Christian. And fully intend to go down there to Washington, D.C. and change things. Until you get under the influence of the forces of darkness there. And you see person after person cave in. Are you with me tonight? So we've got to understand the authority of the believer. And then the Lord said to me, I'm just sharing a few things why I'm going to preach what I'm going to preach tonight. He said to me back... I don't have the date for this either, but it's, I would say, I don't know, 15 years ago or so, something like that. He said to me, because I started, not because I asked God for it. I was actually quite amazed when it started happening. I didn't quite know why it was happening until he told me what I'm getting ready to tell you. But I started having experiences in prayer, praying for our government. Yeah. This, Amen. You know, United States of America, Amen. Particularly the federal government. And... I mean, some of the most astounding, and I don't share it publicly a whole lot. Because some things I share as the Lord leads me to. But these things started happening time after time. Since probably, I think it started, it wasn't very strong, but the first one was sort of, well, back in the 90s, I guess. But then around 2000, things started really happening. And I'm talking about in my prayer life and things with God, experiences I had, going into the Spirit and seeing what was going on and stuff, and dealing with it under the anointing, oftentimes, of special faith. So it just kept happening, and amazing things were happening. I mean, I guess if I went public with it all, I'd be as popular as some of these guys that talk about it all the time. I'm talking about everybody want to interview me, you know. Because I see these experiences people have, and everybody wants to talk to them. I thought, well, if I told you what I had, you'd probably want me. I just don't. That's not the purpose of it. So you can get a big name. I'm interested in bearing fruit. Amen. The Lord told me one time, first time the Lord started using me in this kind of thing, not in the politics area, with an individual. He said to me, now if you had, he showed me, gave me a revelation gift of what was influencing somebody, and he told me not to be bothered about it because of what was happening and what would change. I don't want to get into it all, but he said to me, now, if you handle these things correctly, I'll use you more in these things. And correctly means you got to not blab everything. Yes, sir. You got some things you talk about, some things you don't talk about. Right. Amen. I've told people in private sometimes, as the unction came to tell. Right. Yeah. Yes, I told today at lunch, I told your pastors, one of them, I didn't give all the details of it, but and that kind of thing happened. And so I said, Lord, I don't understand why this keeps happening. And he said to me, now you have to, you realize this is, well, you could think wrong about it, but anyway, I'll just say it. He said, I have made you a watchman over the office of the President of the United States. The office, not the man, the office. I've made you a watchman over the office.
Amen, sir. Yes, yes, yes.
Well, we're all supposed to be watching over things. Yeah, we're supposed to all be watching over things. Watch and pray. You ever read that in the Bible? Watch. Watch and pray. You and I are to watch over things. Now, what does that mean? Watch over it that the will of God come to pass, and watch over it that the forces of darkness don't take it over. If you're a part of this church, you should be watching over it in prayer. To keep the plan of God moving forward by believing God, praying, and keeping the devil out. And that includes not letting him get in through you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, but I'm sharing all this to get to what we're going to minister tonight. And so that has to do with the forces of darkness that try to come against the federal government. Then he said to me that the church, he said this to me this afternoon, he said the church has lost much ground over the last two decades, and particularly in regarding the revelation of the authority of their authority, particularly over the forces that try to rule the masses. Now let's look here in 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Let's strengthen ourselves concerning our authority. Would that be all right? Feed our faith concerning our authority. And I'm going to particularly focus in on the authority we have over the forces that oppose our nation. Because I think the enemy, I know how he works on me, and I assume he works on others the same way. He tries to get us to feel like that's so big, you know, that's such a big assignment. That, you know, what does my faith have? How could my prayer life or my faith or my authority affect that kind of a high office? The devil tries to get us thinking wrong about these things. Really, though, your seat is higher than their seat. You're seated with Jesus in heavenly places.
Amen.
Far above. Far above. They were elected by a nation or a people. And their place is temporary. We were not elected. We were seated with Jesus. And it's not temporary. Amen. We're seated with Jesus far above.
Yeah.
Now, far above all these forces of darkness that we're talking about. Amen.
Amen.
And so the devil wants us to sense, he wants us to have a sense of powerlessness or inability. You know, when it comes to praying for things as large as the affairs of a nation. You know? Well, I don't know. I'm just a little Christian down here, and I don't. Well, see, You're far above the forces that oppose this nation. Amen. That's the natural mind thinking. Trying to figure things out naturally. So that, because the devil wants us to feel powerless. You ever notice over there in the book of Revelation, it says, talking about the accuser of the brethren. He accuses them before our God night and day. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, you know. The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Yeah. They overcame him. Who? The accuser of the brethren. Who? Who accuses them before our God. Notice, he does it before your God. In other words, he's doing it when you go before God.
That's right.
He wants to strip you of your faith at the throne of grace.
Amen. He does.
He doesn't want you. You go to God in prayer. He'll say, well, who do you think you are?
Right.
You know how you didn't walk in love yesterday. And he's trying to strip you of your confidence before your God. Are you still with me tonight? Here in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 1, I exhort you, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks, those are different kinds of prayer. You know there's different kinds of prayer. Be made for all men. Then he says this, for kings. We don't have as many kings today in the world. We got more like presidents, prime ministers, and that's just people. He goes on and defines it. For all that are in authority. Yeah. Talking about governmental authority. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. For there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, and so forth and so on. Now, I'll just be honest with you. Anybody believe in being honest? I mean, especially when you're in church, you better be honest. No, we're honest all the time, right? But in asking the Lord about my authority, my authority over the spirits that try to rule over a nation, I told him, I said, I need some help. I need to understand what it's based on. Because the fact that I know God will honor people's free will. You know, he won't override people's free will. If a nation doesn't want to serve him, he won't override their free will. And so, I know because I know the Bible, he won't override people's free will. And so, if they choose darkness, anybody notice some people around choosing darkness? If they choose darkness, that kept tripping me up concerning my authority over the forces that oppose a nation. Well, how can I exercise authority if people choose? Anybody with me? So as I sought God about this, he gave me this verse. And boy, since that time, he's opened this up to me, and I want to share some of it with you tonight because I believe it'll build your faith for your authority over the forces that oppose this nation. I had no intention, flew all the way here, got in the hotel last night, praying, had no intention of going this direction, woke up this morning, no intention of going this direction, prayed this morning, fellowship with God, no intention, went to lunch with your pastors, no intention, went back to the hotel, no intention, just had an unction to pray. Prayed in the Holy Ghost for a while, and this started coming up. I'm like, oh, my. Amen. I wanted to preach on husbands love your wife so he treat her better. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Boy, he's going to get me. I'm in trouble. Can I go to dinner with anybody after service? I need. But no, he got me on this afternoon. I don't know why he wants me on it. But he. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. I do know. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I see it. So he got me on this verse in my seeking him. Because, you know, if you're struggling in an area and something keeps tripping you up, you need help there. You need further understanding. You need further revelation. And that's where I was. Because I know my authority in my realm. I know in my life I've got authority. Now, somebody walking down the street full of the devil doesn't want to be free. I don't have authority there. They don't want to be free. Right? How many of you know that? I'll give you a little tip on this, and we'll get into this in more detail. Although that man walking down the street, if he doesn't want to be free, if he's full of the devil, but he doesn't want to be free, if he doesn't want to be free, you have no authority over that. But if that demon in that man tries to now hinder or oppose you, now you do have authority over that. Maybe not to cast it out of him, because he wants to be bound. But you have authority over that thing harassing, intimidating, impeding you. Because now that thing's trying to get into your realm of dominion, where God gave you dominion. That's why, because notice here he said in 1 Timothy that I want you to pray for kings, for all that are in authority and so forth and so on. that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. And all God, okay, so when I read this, the Lord took me to this, because I said, I keep getting tripped up about the people's free will. If people want that man to be elected, or if they want something to, you know, they want to vote in people who push demonically inspired laws. Well, then you won't override their free will.
Right.
I was getting tripped up by that. And then the Lord started showing me. He said, notice how it says this. I wish that exhort, first of all, kings, prayer and supplication be made. For kings, for all that are in authority, notice that we, talking to the church, that we, the body of Christ, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. So what he's saying is the prayer, the reason you have some rights. I mean, why would God ask you to pray for them if your faith and your authority and these things don't have any effect?
Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Amen.
Do you think God wants us to just waste our time
doing
something that has no fruit, bears, doesn't have any effect?
No.
No, he wouldn't tell us to do something if it didn't really work. So there must be some authority we have here, or he wouldn't tell us to pray about something. Well, you can pray about it, but it's not going to change anyway. No. Our faith, our prayer life, our authority reaches the highest positions in the land. The church has a supply for these highest positions in the land. Hallelujah. Or else God wouldn't tell us to do it. Amen. So, when he brought me over this, I didn't see it right away. I kept looking. He kept drawing me back to this. I said, I need some help. I keep getting tripped up. He kept drawing me back to this. And he said, then finally, he got it through to me. I'm slow, but I'm worth waiting on. Amen. For kings and for all that are in authority, notice that. See, I thought we were just praying for kings and for all that are in authority. But notice he said that we.
That we.
Say that we.
That we
may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For that is good. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. Okay, so we're praying for them for our benefit. He said, pray for them for your benefit. When I saw that, I realized, wait a minute. What they do affects us. That's why I've got authority. Ah. You see that? Pray for them that we, the church. Isn't that good? So, we know from scriptures, and we'll get into this a little bit later maybe. We'll see how far we get tonight. But we know from scriptures that both God and Satan make these positions of authority their target. Because if they can influence them, they can influence a whole lot of people. Now, I take that back. It's not a translation. It is a Greek study help said, when it says here, kings and all that are in authority, it says, one Greek study help says, that means those that have, I've got it here somewhere, those that occupy seats that over the masses. In other words, some of these positions, whether it's state authorities, governments or something, or a national government, or a president of a nation, or something. Those things affect that seat of authority, and whatever that person that's in that place does, affects everybody. They legalize some kind of goofball, or sin, or perversion, or something that affects everybody. Or they say you can't. They change. You know, our constitution protects us. We got to stand up for that. But if they say now you can't preach the gospel anymore, well, that affects the church. Or they say, you can't do this, you can't do that. Well, that affects us. And when it comes to things that affect us, now we've got authority here. Can you see that? Just like that man I said earlier, he's walking down the street, he's full of the devil, maybe he's got devils or something, and you say, listen, right. Jesus can set you free. And he said, I like the way I live. Well, you can't set him free if he wants to be bound. But if that thing tries to harass your life, now you've got authority. Same way with the government. When they start affecting us, now we've got authority. Does that just helps me. Does that help you like it helps me? Okay. All right, so one concordance, like I said, here's this note I was looking for. It calls this government authority, these places of government authority, places of influence over the masses.
Yeah, true.
Places of influence over the masses. Yeah. And so we're seeing here that our authority, our prayer life, and our authority at the throne of grace has influence over these places of influence over the masses.
Yeah. Amen.
Isn't that right? Now, whenever we pray or we exercise our authority, God will intervene.
That's it right there.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. God gets done what he wants to do on this earth through authority.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Jesus or God originally gave Adam authority down here on this earth. Genesis 1:26, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and have dominion. Yeah. Remember, over the fish of the sea. Fowl of the air. And then he said, over all the earth. God gave that to Adam. Of course, we know Adam sinned. You're taught well here, so I'm not going to go into all these scriptures. But Adam sinned. He submitted by sinning. He bowed his knee to Satan, really. And Satan became, the New Testament calls him the God of this world. I mean, you read that, and if you don't have your mind renewed, you can read that. Satan's the God. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Satan's the God of this world. Well, why on earth is he the God of this? Why'd God make him the God of this world? God didn't make him the God of this world. He made Adam the God, little g, of this world. And Adam bowed his knees, submitted to Satan. And Satan was given the God, became the God of this world through Adam's dominion. He usurped Adam's dominion. That's why in Luke 4, when Jesus was tempted of the devil in the wilderness, the three different temptations we have record of, but there's probably more. But he said, one of the temptations was he took him up on a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Said, all these have been delivered unto me, and I give it to whoever I will. If you'll bow down and worship me, trying to get Jesus to worship the devil. If you'll bow down and worship me, all this glory and all this authority will be yours. Remember, Jesus didn't fall for that. Amen. He said, get behind me, Satan. It's written, thou shalt only worship the Lord your God. So, but Satan there tempted him with this dominion that he had. He said, all this glory and all this authority will I give to you, for that has been delivered to me. That has been delivered to me. Well, people read that and they think, well, the devil was lying. It wasn't delivered. He didn't have that to give. Well, then Jesus was partner with a lie, because the Bible said, and the Bible was a partner to lie, because the Bible said that Jesus was tempted with that. I'm not tempted to steal your Lamborghini. Why can't I be tempted to steal? You don't have a Lamborghini. I'm going out on a limb tonight and saying nobody here has a Lamborghini. I'm not tempted with something that's not available. Jesus knew the devil had that authority. And if he hadn't had it, he'd have known he didn't have it to give. How can you be tempted with something he can't give anyway? I'm not tempted to steal your Lamborghini because there's no Lamborghini sitting out there in the parking lot. Right? You're not tempted with something that's not even available. And so if the devil said he had it, but he didn't really have it, Jesus would have known it. And he just said, oh, you don't even have it to give with anyway. But no, the Bible said that he was tempted with it. That means he really did have it to give. Amen. So he said so, and the Bible says so. The Bible calls him the God of this world, but he didn't get it from God. He got it from Adam.
Yes, sir.
Are we making any sense tonight?
Yes,
so God moves, but see, now is that the end of the story? Oh, the devil's running everything, and we're so powerless. No, that's not the end of the story. Jesus came to seek, now there's a couple ways you could look at this verse. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost.
Yeah.
Of course, that's us. Before we say what we're going to say, we have to say that's first of all, that's us. Really, the whole world. But he didn't just say just us. He said seek and save that which was lost. Another thing that was lost is the authority of the believer. Satan had usurped that. But see, Jesus came after he rose from the dead. He said, all authority, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Well, I'm not in heaven. I'm on earth. So he turned around and said, go ye therefore.
Yes,
hallelujah. And the first thing he said do is cast out devils.
Yes.
Exercise. That means exercise authority over devils.
Yeah.
So really for God to do what he wants to do on the earth today, he has to do it through authority, just like he was going to do it through Adam back there before Adam usurped, you know, before Adam gave up that authority.
Yep.
God wasn't going to come down here and do everything. Yep. He was going to do it through Adam. That, see, and that's the same thing today. God's not going to do it today. He's going to do it through the church.
Yep. Yep.
And the reason is that's why he gave the church authority.
Yeah.
Because he that's how he gets access to a situation through our authority.
You got to
know that if something isn't going the right direction, it's because God doesn't have access to it. And it's the authority of the believer that gives him that access.
Yes, it does.
Oh, my. You think about that and meditate on that. If to have access to our government, he has to do that through our authority, through the church.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, I believe God's sovereign. He can just do whatever he wants. Well, the Bible says we're laborers together with God. Doesn't say God's just doing everything, all that he wants, all independently of the church. He said, we're laborers together with God.
Yeah.
He's not going out and... Have you ever walked down the street and run into the Holy Ghost? Well, there he is, preaching the gospel to somebody. Have you ever gone down the street and ran into an angel? Well, there's an angel preaching the gospel to somebody. No, they don't do it. The Holy Ghost doesn't do it. The Holy Ghost anoints us to do it.
Yeah.
You ever gotten on a plane to go overseas on a mission trip and you sat down and was, oh, there's the Holy Ghost. Where are you going? Oh, I'm going to Nigeria. I'm going to preach the gospel to them people over there. No, he does it through us. He's in us. He's on us. And he'll go with us. And he said, I'll not leave you nor forsake you. You go and you cast out devils. You preach the good news. Oh, my. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So, anyway, you might have authority to cast out devils in an individual if they want to be free, right? But if they don't want to be free, then you can't exercise authority because God gave them a free will. But if they start harassing you, see, remember that concerning, hate to say it, but your relatives sometimes. If they're not walking in the light, sometimes they're ruled by darkness. And they'll persecute and they'll talk and they'll try to hinder and try to mess up the family or something. You just take authority over that. That's not your relatives. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, you asking God to move on behalf of these people, let's say it this way, move on behalf of these places of authority. See, we're really not talking about the people in them. We're talking about the places of authority. You know, like take the office of the President of the United States, for example. People are going to come and go through that, through different elections and stuff, but the office stays there as long as this nation's here. That office stays there, right? And so what our prayers do is they affect the person in that office. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Hallelujah. So don't get tripped up on the personalities. Well, the man I wanted didn't get in there. Well, this verse is still in here. Pray for kings, their own authority. Doesn't say if you like them or the one you wanted to get in is in. Your praying is not you saying, I approve of their politics. Your praying is not asking God to approve or endorse their politics. We sometimes, well, I don't like him. I'm not going to pray for him. I want him to fail. Well, listen, God wants to use that office. He wants to use that office. Maybe we want some of their plans to fail, but not that office. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's not get tripped up on personalities in the office. Praise God. Now, so we have to recognize, I'm saying that's to say, in our day, it's becoming more and more apparent to the church. I mean, if you've watched one broadcast of the news over the last couple of years, and that's all you've ever watched, you're aware that some things have changed. Right? And through some of the last couple of years with the pandemic and stuff, you see what wickedness is there trying to be unleashed on the church. You can see that. I mean, it's there. It's just trying to get it on. I believe Satan sees, because the Bible says, he's over in the book of Revelation, says that he's going about in the last days with great wrath. He knows his time is short. And we know from 1 Thessalonians that it's the church that's holding him back, doing all that he wants to do, and actually by holding back the spirit of Antichrist. But through the last number of years, you can see that spirit's there, just ready. It wants to get it on. Satan wants to get it on before the tribulation. He wants to deceive the church. He wants to defeat the church. He wants to get us to sit down, shut up, not use our authority. But we're what holds this back. Isn't that right? That's what first it says. That which withholds still withholds until it's taken out of the way. You can't say that's the Holy Ghost. We can't say that's God, because even in the tribulation, you read that closely, there's going to be millions of people come into the kingdom of God during the tribulation. Yeah. Well, they can't do that without the conviction of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's going to be here. The Holy Spirit's not going to be taken when the church leaves. The church will be taken. So it's not the Holy Spirit that's withholding. It's us. Of course, yielding to the Holy Spirit. We can't do this without Him. You understand that. Anyway, I trust I didn't mess anything up for you there. But what you can see is the enemy, you can see, I think better than ever before, the church, especially in America, can see now how that the enemy wants to use government officials in these places of authority to harass, intimidate, and stop the work of the church. Amen. He wants to use those positions. Yes. You remember back in the New Testament, but in the book of Acts, for example, you remember there was a persecution that arose in the days of Saul. His name was changed to Paul. Remember, he became Paul the Apostle. But a great persecution arose through him. You know how he was doing what he was doing? He was doing it through government authority. He had letters, the Bible said he had letters from the government to do what he was doing. And if you look at the persecution against the apostles, I'm talking about the original apostles in Jerusalem, where they were put in prison and commanded and beaten, told not to preach anymore. That was all government officials. But really it wasn't. It was demon forces using people in government in government authority. Places of authority. So you can see, and really, to be honest with you, there's throughout history, you can look at the history of the church, and there's nobody that tries to oppose the church like government. You go through all the church history, and it was government, the government in Rome, it was the government in these nations. It's the government today that persecutes Christians in other nations and stuff. Right? So we're going to have to learn to know our authority over the spirits that try to rule the masses or try to oppose the church through government officials. We're going to have to understand this authority. We know the authority we have over Satan. He's trying to rob us of our finances or something like that. That's more on a personal level. Some of us have gotten some revelation along that line. But this other, we've got to have to get some revelation on this other level. Am I making any sense tonight? There's not any man in any office or operating in any human authority who is outside of the reach of God dealing with him if we take our place in prayer at the throne of grace. Amen. Hallelujah.
That's good.
Praise God. Amen. God's power, I don't have scripture for it, but I do want to ask somebody from Damascus when I get to heaven. Can I talk to you? Oh, you lived in Damascus whenever Paul was coming. He was going to persecute Christians there. Remember, he's on the road to Damascus when that bright light struck him down. Remember, he's going to go over there and do the same thing in Damascus. He had done other places, put people in jail, killed them and stuff for preaching this gospel. I want to find somebody from, when I get to heaven, find somebody. Oh, you're from Damascus. Sit down. Here. Here, let me give you a cup of tea. Here, I want to talk to you. Here, drink this tea. Oh. On the way, you heard from Paul. You heard Paul was coming? Saul was his name, Saul at the time. You heard he was coming to Damascus? Yeah. I got to ask you a question. Were there any prayer meetings called?
See, that's it. See, right there. That's why
Peter. Were you as believers praying?
James was killed. Yeah, you betcha. Come on.
I want you there whenever he says it, because I'm sure he's going to say, yep, we called a prayer meeting. And we were praying, and that's why that light hit him on the road to Damascus. Somebody said, well, you don't know that's true. Well, no, we don't have scripture for it, but let me say this. Even sinners will pray when somebody wants to kill them.
That's right.
Even if they don't know how to pray. Hail Mary, full of grace. They're living like the devil. Somebody wants to kill them. I never knew what all that meant. I didn't know if it was eeny, meeny, miny, mo, or what you were doing there. I just never. I grew up in another denomination. I don't mean to be sacrilegious. I'm just saying. I just didn't know. I never knew what all that meant. But see, even sinners will pray. And we have record in other places, like in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts, whenever the government officials, the devil through government officials, tried to persecute the church, they took out James. They killed him. Then they came for Peter and had him in prison. And the church says, wait a minute. We didn't pray for James. And they set themselves to pray. So we have record that that's what they would do in persecution. I'm sure that's what happened in Damascus. And it stopped what the devil was trying to do through government officials. Does that make any sense? So, there's no man beyond the reach of God. Just no man beyond the reach. Paul looked like the worst guy in government ever. And it didn't take much at all for God to straighten his string out. Jesus just appeared to him on the road to Damascus. I mean, that bright light, he falls to the earth, and Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And within a few seconds, he says, who art thou, Lord? In other words, Uncle, I'm yours. Don't kill me. This bright light, I don't know what's happening right now. That just took a few seconds. That's how quick God can get something done. I believe those disciples in Damascus were praying. And that gave God access to Saul. Gave him access to Saul. Whoo! Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. So, if you take the mindset that it's... Well, anyway, let's skip over that. Go over to 2nd... Let's go over to... I think we need to, let's see, what time did I start? I think I started preaching at 8:15, didn't I? I'm kidding. Let's go back to something. I think in order to fully, I might not get this finished tonight. But Yeah. But I think to understand this, we've got to go back to some things way back in the Old Testament that tells us about Satan falling from heaven. Really, we've got to understand some things. So let's go back there. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter number 14. We know that when God created man, he put him in the garden, gave him authority. And we also know Satan was there because it says he came through that serpent. So we know Satan was here. But how did he get here? And what on earth was he doing here and all that? Now, Isaiah 14, did I say Isaiah 14?
Yes.
Let's start reading in verse number 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Now, Jesus referred to this. Remember, he said in Luke 10, I don't have the verse, but he said, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Luke 20? 19:20. I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. So Jesus referred to that by and Isaiah is talking about it here. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? So he was in heaven. How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Now notice that. Now I there's so much here. Let's keep reading. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, so forth and so on. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Now notice that. He must have been down here below the clouds before this. He must have had some sort of... Notice, look at verse 13. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. So he wasn't, he had access to heaven.
Yes, he did.
I will exalt my throne. He had a throne. Above the stars of God. Now you could say that's the stars we see at night, or really I think that's probably the angels, because you read other scriptures, calls them stars. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation of the sides of the north. Now that's talking about God's throne. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He's trying to... He got up a rebellion against God.
Yes.
Now, the fact that he said, I will, meant that he had a free will.
That's right. Yeah.
God didn't make him a puppet where he had to serve him.
Yeah.
So, all these things imply that he had a kingdom.
Yeah.
They imply that he had a will, that this kingdom... It's at least implied that this kingdom was on earth. But then he was thrown out, and he tried to get a rebellion and go up against God. And if you read the book of Revelation, a third of the angels fell with him. So he and a third of the angels must have rebelled against the other two-thirds of the angels and God, and they were thrown out. They didn't just float out. Jesus said, I saw him as lightning. Lightning goes like this. It was not a suggestion that he leave. It was a boom. That's how God dealt with him. So he had some sort of kingdom because he had a throne. Now, we know there are evil spirits here on the earth today. We don't have a whole lot of revelation of where they came from, except we do know that the fallen angels are demon forces.
Right.
But it seems like there's more to it than that, but we won't get into all that. We can say with certainty that he's a fallen being. Now go over to the book of Ezekiel, the 28th chapter, and we'll see more here. We'll go to the 12th verse. I'm not going to take a whole lot more time here, but we'll get this started tonight. I think to get us to understand the authority we have, we have to understand Satan and how he tries to rule kingdoms.
Yeah.
And we just need to look at something here the Lord is talking to me about. Ezekiel 28, look at verse number, where could we start? Let's just start in verse number 1. This is a little bit long. Can you handle this a little bit? We'll read this a little bit. Ezekiel 28, let me get over here. Looking at another place. Ezekiel 28. Let's just start reading in verse number 1. the word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, underline that, prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am God, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man. So God's having the prophet Ezekiel prophesy to this man. He's a man, not a God. He thinks he's a God. He thinks he's, you know, yeah. So, but he said, you're not, God's talking to a man. He calls him the prince of Tyrus. He said, he's so big in himself, he's so full of pride. He thinks he's a God. He said, no, you're a man. You're a man. Notice that. Thou art a man and not not God, though thou settest thine heart as the heart of God. And so forth and so on. It talks about him for a while. Now go down to verse number 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. Okay, notice, underline that, king of Tyrus. Now, you notice in verse 1, the first prophecy was to a man called the prince of Tyrus. You see that?
Yes.
Now he's talking about, he said to Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy to the king, in verse number 11, the king of Tyrus. First of all, he's talking to a man, the prince of Tyrus. Now he said, I want you to prophesy to the king of Tyrus and say unto him, now here's the word of the Lord to him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. What? What? No, wait, wait, wait. This can't be that same man. That man could not. This is a man that's over a nation called Tyrus. He could not have been that old. He could not have been back in Eden. So this is not a man. It goes on and describes it. He said, take up this prophecy against the king of Tyrus and say, thou hast, he sealed up the sum, so forth and so forth, full of wisdom and beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, and the onyx, the jasper, and sapphire, and emerald, and carbuncle, and gold, and workmanship of the tabrets. That's actually, if you look it up, it means tambourine. And thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Now notice, this is a created being, but it can't be a man because he couldn't have been that old where he lived back in the Garden of Eden. Look at verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Okay, cherub is the short word for the word cherubim. That's an angelic being. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so, and thou wast upon the mountain of God. Okay, so he had been in heaven. Isn't that right? Thou wast upon the mountain of God, and hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Probably reference to the angels. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. Here's another verse that says he was created. You know, angels are created beings too. Till iniquity was found in thee. So he had sinned. He wasn't created in the condition he found himself in after his sin. So he was a created being. He had access to God, the throne of God. He had been in Eden. And he was an angel. So this is not a man. Angels are never men, and men are never angels. No man turns into an angel ever. Amen. There's no scripture for that. But this man, this being was a fallen angel. Amen. But he had sinned. This is obviously the devil. Lucifer, we read about him in Isaiah chapter number 14, right? And so I want you to see that he was perfect in all his ways. He was created perfect. You know, this will clear up a lot of things. People have a lot of weird, they try to figure out, and you referenced, somebody said this to you years ago. Well, you know, if God's so good, why has he got everything in a mess? Why didn't he stop this and stop that and so forth and so on? He's not running everything down here. He's not running everything. Satan is the god of this world. He's running some things down here. Not running us, but he's running some things.
Right.
Like somebody said, if God's running everything, he sure got it in a mess. Well, if they understood that Satan got Adam's authority and is doing some things through that authority, they wouldn't be accusing God of being the one, you know, murdering babies and, you know, doing all these things. Well, God allowed it. Well, wait a minute. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. The church, if we allow it, then God has to allow it because the authority is ours. Did I go too fast on that? No, that's the way the Bible says these things. So he didn't create Lucifer in the state he was in. This is Satan. And so something a little interesting as we go by this, he talks about his tambourine there. He must have had something to do with music. You ever notice how important music is to prepare us to yield to the Holy Ghost? You ever notice, in fact, the Lord dealt with me about this recently, how important music is to the world in yielding to the devil? I became, in that time of rebellion in my younger age, I became very oppressed mentally and tormented. And through, you know, getting back right with God and renewing my mind and so forth, I was freed from all that. But I was very oppressed, very tormented in my mind. And I was just a couple weeks ago. I was just looking at something about somebody on, I didn't even know much about them. I saw something on the news about how popular they were, their music entertainer. A woman that stands on a stage mostly naked and dances around. And I think one of the biggest, the way they were saying it, one of the biggest stars. I don't even know much about them. But they were saying about this, and I said, well, that crazy stuff. I used to listen to all that, and I just put it down. And the Lord said to me, he said, I never thought about this before. He said, you know how that, you were tormented as a teenager? I said, yeah. He said, you know how that first got a hold of you? I said, no, tell me. He said, through that music you were listening to. See, those things are inspired by demons. They prepare people to yield to demons. I remember after getting saved one time, me and a friend of mine, we started going to the streets and sharing Jesus and preaching, you know, and so forth. And we went to a rock concert. And man, that place, when you're sensitive to God, you're aware of the spirit realm, that place was just crawling with demons. I mean, I remember one man came out, I was started handing him a track or something, he manifested a demon right in front of me. I mean, that's just a place of worship and demons in there. Prepares them to yield the wrong spirit. Anyway, I don't know how I got on. See, the devil, he knows that because he used to lead worship in heaven, I believe. He knows the value of music. Anyway, so that's all free. So he sinned. Can you see that? He kept saying, we know what his sin was from Isaiah 14. I'm going to exalt my throne. He's going to overthrow God. Well, only a fool thinks that. Right? All right, so but what I wanted you to see was that king of Tyre, we'll not take much more time here, but that king of Tyre was different than that prince of Tyre. So we get the idea here, and this is what I'm focusing in on. You get the idea of a dual kingdom. There was a man on earth ruling that nation, but there was a demon force in the spirit realm ruling that man or controlling that man to rule that nation. Does that make sense? He didn't say the king of Egypt. The spirit was the king of Tyre who was ruling over the man, the prince of Tyre. Does that make sense? So what do we see? We see Satan likes to rule nations through government officials. Does that make any sense? And that's what Satan was referring to over in Luke chapter number 4 when he said to Jesus in that temptation, you bow down and worship me, I'll give all these kingdoms to you, for they're delivered to me. Can you see that? Generally speaking, unless a godly man or woman is in a place of authority, there is a demon spirit controlling nations. Does that make any sense? That's what Adam's authority was. It was over the world. But Satan took over that. Well, Jesus came to give us the authority back. There's coming a time, by the way, that Jesus, that Satan will be thrown into the bottomless pit. You know, and he won't have access to the earth. But right now, he has access to the earth. Remember, the demons would say when Jesus would cast them out, he said, are you coming to torment us before the time? Before the time? What does that mean? What time? In other words, there's coming a time they won't have any more access to the earth. They're going to be, and we know what that is. He's going to be put in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Remember that? Hallelujah. But until then, he has the right to be here, but he just can't rule the church.
That's right.
Because we're delivered from the authority of darkness. Colossians 1. We're delivered. See, that's what our redemption includes. It includes deliverance from the authority of darkness. In other words, if we'll recognize that authority and exercise that authority, these forces, even through the government officials that try to stop us, have no right to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. I think that's a good place to end. I don't know how long I've been preaching. I think it's been long enough. You're so sweet. Hallelujah. Praise God. Everybody say, we have authority. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus came to deliver us from, remember, all authority is given unto me. And then you go. And then he said, over there, I saw Satan as lightning. Which reference did you say that was? Luke 10? 10:19 and 20?
It's 20.
10:18. Somebody over here said 18. There. So, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power. King James says power. It's the Greek word for authority. To tread on serpents. That's the type for demon forces because of what he's getting ready to say. Serpents and scorpions. Now notice this. Over all the powers of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Woo, glory. Glory to God. That's all of it. No matter how high those things are. Praise God. Praise God. That's what the name of Jesus has in it. It has authority in it. Woo, glory be to God. And so we're going to look maybe, we'll see how the Lord leads us tomorrow, but we're going to look a little bit more maybe at it. And you can stand with me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We read in Ephesians 6 that there are principalities. Ephesians 6, remember that? You know, we're talking about the armor of God and so forth. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers. These are ranks of demons. Against rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places, which means heavenlies. Hallelujah. He's given us authority over all that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise be to God. Now, some of these forces, well, you know, he just listed four ranks there. Some of them, they're always attacking individuals. But some of them, the higher ranking ones, they want to influence offices of government to be able to affect a whole nation. And that's what we have to understand a little bit better. We have to understand that a little bit better. Amen. In order to walk in our authority. So we'll see how we get unction tomorrow. We'll see if we even go this direction tomorrow. We might preach on husbands love your wives tomorrow. We don't know. All the wives said, hallelujah. Praise God. Lift your hands again. Just give God thanks. Thank you for this authority in the name of Jesus. Father, we're grateful for the great, great honor and privilege to be called your children. Father God, there's something much more valuable than these things tonight. It's that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're grateful, Father. We thank you in the name of Jesus. for our salvation, for the blood of Jesus that has redeemed us and given us the perfect assurance of our future with forever with you. We give you thanks for that. And we thank you, Father. The main thing is getting people into the kingdom of God. Getting people into the kingdom of God. And anything that pops its head up while we're doing that, we just take authority over it. Hallelujah. Father, our focus is not demons. Our focus is the work you called us to. So we keep our focus right, but we understand these truths also, Father. And we're grateful for them in the name of Jesus. Now, I just had a sense before we, just a minute ago, I had a sense. There's some things that have been like, earlier I was talking about things that harass, intimidate, impede, and try to oppose or even embarrass people's lives, Christians' lives. And I sense there's people here that there's something trying to do that. Something. So the devil's trying to use somebody to hinder, harass, impede. If that's you, raise your hand. It's not a person. We're not focused in on the person. But if that's you, raise your hand. Because we need to, there are several hands here. Tonight, after what you heard, you realize now what you got to do, right? How many of you know there's no time like now to do it? Hallelujah. Faith. You know, the Bible says over there, Jesus mentioned in John 12, he said, when you have the light, walk in the light. Hallelujah. Without walking in the light, it'll go out. So right now, the light has come. Let's walk in it right now. So if you can let your heart agree, if raise your hand again, if that's you. In fact, we could all just repeat this with them. Everybody here to just say this after me. But primarily those that raised your hand, raise your hand again. And let's just say this out loud. Say, Father God, we're so grateful tonight for the authority of the believer over all the powers of darkness. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, this power of darkness that's trying to hinder, trying to harass, trying to impede my forward progress, or hinder my life, or embarrass my life, or oppose me in any way. Right now, I acknowledge before you, Father, that it's not flesh and blood, but that it is an evil power influencing them in the name of Jesus. I exercise authority over that force tonight. In the name of Jesus, you take your hand off of that individual. You cease in your maneuvers and in your operations against my life, trying to keep me from living a quiet and peaceable life as I go about to do the will of God. In the name of Jesus, you're now bound. You are done. You're dismissed from your assignment. In the name. Go from my life. Hallelujah. It is done. Hallelujah. Raise your hands and give God thanks for it. Give God thanks for it. Hallelujah. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory! 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 Hallelujah. I read a verse one time. It says, see if you can finish this for me. Resist the devil and he fled right now. He fled right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to get some testimonies out of this. I've had this. We've seen this so many times. I remember, I could tell you many stories, but I'm thinking of a lady that her and her daughter had been in a car accident. And they had insurance, you know, and it was the other person's fault. It wasn't their fault. And the authorities even recognized that it wasn't these two ladies' fault. It was the other people's fault. Everybody agreed, even the one that had hit them in the car, even acknowledged I was at fault. So it wasn't disputed.
Right.
But yet the lawyers kept trying to hold back the insurance payment. You know, they were fussing and fighting in the insurance company. And I'm ministering. I was in a church, and I was ministering along, and I got to the end, and I said, there's somebody here that there's a lawsuit that is not being settled. You're owed a whole lot of money. And this lady and her daughter raised their hand. They said, that's us. I said, the Lord told me that we're going to take authority over that, and that's going to come in the name of Jesus.
Yep.
We took authority over that, and I, that was a guest minister, so I left town. I didn't know what happened. But it just wasn't very long. I'm pastoring there in Cedar Rapids, and a lady walked into our church, and I didn't recognize her.
Yeah.
And she said, do you remember me? I said, no, I don't remember you. She said, I'm the daughter of that lady that you ministered to about that car accident where that money was owed to us. I said, oh, yeah, I remember you. You're so much older now, you know. Didn't recognize her. But anyway, she said, I just want you to know that exactly what we agreed on, that came to pass. And we got all the money that was due to us, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And she said, now I just heard you were needing some carpet here at the church. Here's a check, pay for all the carpet. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Praise the Lord. Whatever's been opposing you, it's stopped tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.